It's very good to be back with you this Sunday. I got all the way to Thanksgiving, and I was reminded that I had taken one Sunday off thus far this year. I was reminded by my wife of that. And so it was good to have a little bit of time away last week, but it's also during those times away when we're reminded of just how blessed we are as a family, for our family to be able to be worshiping here in this place with you. And so it's good to be back. I'm also grateful for Ryan for stepping in and sharing last week. I'm glad to be a part of a ministry team where there are so many capable men who genuinely want to step in and to serve in that way, and are good with stepping in on Sunday morning and preaching and sharing. And I want you to like those guys, not a lot, but I want you to like them some. I mean, I do have to remind you do already have a preacher, but with the holiday season coming up, and maybe with Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Giving Tuesday all behind us now, many are in full blown Christmas mode. I come in this Sunday and it looks like the garden center at Home Depot around me. You know, when everybody's already, they're posting pictures of their progress, you know, of they've got their Christmas tree up and their lights up and they've got this and that all going on at their house. And I'm just trying to decide how long I can leave that rotting pumpkin on my front porch before my HOA sends me a letter, you know. But especially at this time of year, whenever there are so many who are at least inclined to begin to open their thoughts and maybe even their hearts toward Christ, I think there's an opportunity that we have during this season where others who maybe they get wrapped up in the shopping and they get wrapped up in the gift giving and things like that, but I think we as Christians have a unique opportunity this time every year, because there are those who perhaps they're not connected to a church family. Maybe they were at some time, at some point, at some place in their previous life, but currently they're not. Or maybe they've never been connected to a church family, but this time of year, they're at least a little more open than what they normally are. And at this time of year, I think that you and I have a unique opportunity to be able to minister to others in our life in a way that is so very unique, in a way that's so very God-given, in order for us to make an impact for the kingdom. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to work toward this end, to consider for the next three Sundays the culmination of the coming of the Christ, the life of Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Christ. And also to communicate this anticipation of the coming Savior and what this anticipation not only means to us as believers, what it meant to believers then. The anticipation of the coming of the Christ, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the promised one, what it meant to them, and then also what it means to us as those who live this side of the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It's a verse that contains a blessing from the Apostle Paul to the believers at Rome. Now, these are believers that the Apostle Paul has yet to meet face to face, but they are no doubt believers who have heard about him. They've heard of his story. They've heard of his history. They've heard of his faith. And that they're individuals that he longs to. What does he say there in chapter 1? That he longs to meet with so that he might impart upon them a spiritual gift and they might be mutually encouraged by one another's faith because that's what we do as believers for one another. And really, when you think about it, it's the design of blessing. Because the design of blessing is that we would not keep it to ourselves. That we would not be able but to, we wouldn't be able to help to share blessing from God with others. And so Romans 15, 13, not only is it going to be our scripture of the month for the month of December that we're going to read together at the beginning of every service on Sunday morning, but it's also going to be where we're going to be camped out and working from over the next three Sundays. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a blessing from Paul to the Roman believers, from God through Paul to the church today. And it's a blessing that really reads like a prayer. And within this blessing, within this prayer, hope, joy, and peace are at the very center. And the nature of blessing is that as we are filled by God, as we empty ourselves of self, and as we're filled with God, with all that comes from Him, as we don't seek to fill ourselves with those things that don't satisfy, but as we seek to be filled by Him, the nature of blessing is that as God fills us, He fills us to overflowing, so that He, through us, overflows into the lives of others. And within this season, even though we know that the Lord has already come, still, we have a holy anticipation, a holy expectation, a holy waiting for all that God has promised us through the Messiah. And so this week, anticipating hope. Next Sunday, anticipating joy. And then 2 weeks from today, anticipating peace. It's the already and it's the not yet of the kingdom of God. Anticipating what God will do, but viewing life through what God has already done. We look back in order to be able to look forward. With me so far. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Hope is a state of anticipation. Biblical hope, it looks to God, but specifically it looks to God's character. To hope in a biblical sense is to be confident in the God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. It is hope as the basis for trusting in the future regardless of the present. And I can't help but think that maybe even especially at this time of year, there aren't many of us who are yearning for a word of hope. Hope is crucial. Hope is crucial for healthy human existence. Without hope, how do we live healthy, whole lives? We don't. I've got a good friend who is a retired policeman. He was a canine officer for over 25 years, and I remember him sharing of how after the events of September 11th in New York, that there were search and rescue dogs that are just so highly driven to search and rescue, to seek out and to find survivors. I remember him sharing how after the events of 9/11, specifically there in New York, that there were search and rescue dogs that had to be retired after those events because they found so few survivors. I wonder if sometimes you and I aren't tempted to give up hope whenever it's crucial for a healthy life. And hope, whether we realize it or not, hope is not solely a future promise. It's to be a present truth. And we can't be emotionally healthy people without hope. There are two primary words in the Old Testament for hope. The first is yakal. Say that with me. Yakal. Yakal simply means to wait. In the story of Noah and the ark, as the flood waters recede, Noah yakals for weeks for the waters to subside. He waits. Abraham and Sarah, they had to yakal for 25 years. They had to wait for their son Isaac to be born. Because, as the author of Hebrews says, it is through faith and patience that we inherit the Lord's promises. It is trusting in God's promises, so much so that not only is there blessing in the end, but it gives you blessing while you're waiting. Because our being blessed has nothing to do with current situation or status, and everything to do with God. Everything to do with our relationship with God, because to be blessed is to be favored by God. You call to wait. And yet we don't, many of us don't do all that well at waiting. Thinking about this sort of season, the Christmas season coming up. Who here does a good job of waiting for the Christmas presents? A good job of that. Who doesn't do a good job of waiting for it? Yeah, it's okay to go ahead and point them out. Yes. Tirsa's dad, I don't, is the correct term, he does not care less, or he could care less. Tirsa's dad, whatever you're going to get him is not going to be right anyway. He'd much rather buy it for himself. So her dad, he does a really good job of waiting. Christmas Eve, that's our time to get together with Tirsa's 88-year-old grandmother, and she's the matriarch of the family, and so everybody comes together on Christmas Eve. Currently, what we do is we all have little gift cards that we'll get one another, but years ago when the family was smaller, we would draw a name at Thanksgiving in order to be able to give a gift on Christmas Eve. And it really got to where it was out of hand. It was kind of like who could bring the biggest gift. I always wanted Tirsa's Uncle Don to get my name because he was really good at that. Tirsa's dad, one year, it'll come up this Christmas Eve because it comes up every year, even though it happened 20 years ago. Tirsa's dad, one year, he drew his own name at Thanksgiving, and so he just kept it. But get this, rather than buy himself a present, which would have been great, you know what he did? He just decided to not buy himself anything and pocket the money. And so it came around to him in order of age, and it got down to him, and he's like, yeah, I drew my name, and I didn't get myself anything. And I mean, every year it'll come up that Jim, 20 years ago, he did that. I don't know what my point with that was, but I wanted to share it with you. You call to wait. Another Hebrew word is kavah. Say that with me. Kavah. Kavah also means to wait, but it's a word that's related to another Hebrew word, which is kav. And a kav is a piece of rope or it's a cord. Now, they didn't have a bungee cord back in the Old Testament, but this helps get the point across. To kavah, it's related to the word kav, which means a cord, because it describes for us this idea of waiting with tension. And yet we know that even though there's tension, to kavah communicates that eventually there's going to be release. That even though there's tension for the moment, that eventually there's going to be release. That's the idea of kavah. It's to wait, to hope in tension. To wait, even though things are tense and things are difficult, things are stressful, things are painful, things are hurtful. But to know that eventually there's going to be release. That's kavah. It's not a matter of if that's going to happen. It's simply a matter of when. And so biblical hope, it's the feeling of tension and expectation while you wait for something to happen. And that something is from God. The prophet Isaiah, he depicts a farmer who plants his vine and waits. And Isaiah says, this is God. He's the farmer who plants his vine and he waits. He kavahs. He hopes, waiting in tension for growth and a harvest. The prophet Micah speaks of farmers who hope, who wait for the rain to come and to water the crops, knowing that the rain is going to come, but not knowing when. And so in Hebrew, hope is about waiting. Even tense expectation. In the Psalms, those words for hope appear over 40 times. We're going to consider a few of them tonight. And if you search, you'll probably find less than 40. You'll find probably around 30. And that's the reason why at times the word hope will be translated wait. What we read earlier from Isaiah chapter 40, those who hope in the Lord, those who wait in the Lord, depending upon your translation, will determine what sort of word is utilized there. But in practically every instance in the Psalms where the word hope or wait is employed, what the psalmists are hoping for, what the psalmists are waiting for, what they're waiting for within the tension, is God. Listen to these psalms. Psalm 5, verses 1 through 3. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait, I hope expectantly. Psalm 25, verse 3, no one who hopes in you, O Lord, will ever be put to shame. Psalm 31, verse 24, be strong and take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 18, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love. Psalm 33, verses 20 to 22. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Like the poet of Psalm 39, verse 7. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Lord, what do I kavah for? You are my yakal. It's Stick with me. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 62 and verse 5. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. Psalm 130, verse 5, 6, and 7. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in His Word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, people of God, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. We're going to look briefly at the New Testament in a moment, but consider these words from Romans chapter 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope, it doesn't disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Here's why we take this route. Biblical hope is based upon a person. This is different from optimism. Not that optimism is bad, but optimism is choosing to see in situations how circumstances can work out for the best, right? That's optimism. William Ward writes this: the pessimist complains about the wind, the optimist expects it to change, and the realist adjusts the sails. But biblical hope, it's not based upon our circumstances. In fact, when you look to the Bible, hopeful people in the Bible often recognize that there is no evidence that things are going to get any better for them this side of eternity. But they choose hope anyway. The prophet Hosea lives during a dark time with Israel, when Israel's being oppressed by other empires, and Hosea, he chooses hope when he declares, God will make the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, of the forgotten. He'll make it into an open door of hope, even if that doesn't happen during his lifetime. Just as God had done for Israel, as God delivers Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, God had surprised His people with redemption back then in the days of the Exodus. And so it stands to reason that God could do it again. It's God's past faithfulness that motivates hope for the future. Not circumstances, not potential, not pessimism or optimism, not even our own effort, as important as that might be. It is God's past faithfulness that motivates our hope for the future. We look forward by looking backward, hoping in God, trusting, hoping in nothing other than God, God's character, God's being, God's nature, God's heart, God's track record. In the New Testament, the earliest followers of Jesus, they cultivated this same sort of concept of hope. You and I, we believe that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are God's surprising end to our slavery in evil and death, right? That's what we're promised in the gospel. The empty tomb opens up for us a new door of hope. The Greek word is elpis. Say that with me. Elpis. Elpis describes this anticipation, waiting in the hopeful anticipation of God. The Apostle Peter, he says that Jesus' resurrection opened up for us a living hope that we can be remade, we can be reborn into a new people. Look at these words from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the same way, the Apostle Paul, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In both instances, this hope is based upon a person, Jesus. Hope is the resurrected Lord who's overcome death. Biblical hope isn't optimism based on the odds. It's a choice to wait for God to bring about a future that is as surprising as a crucified man being resurrected from the dead. Christian hope looks back to the risen Jesus in order to look forward. And so we wait. We live in the tension. We hope in the anticipation of God. You see, the world waited for millennia. The world had been waiting since Genesis chapter 3. The world waited in tension for the gospel of Jesus, anticipating the birth of the Savior, anticipating the life, death, burial, resurrection and ascension of the Savior. Hopeful anticipation, hopeful expectation that the God of hope would step into history, securing for humanity hope, joy, and peace. And praise God that He did. Praise God that you and I, we live on the other side of that door. We live this side of the gospel, this side of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we live within this hope. And we wait for the day. We hope for the day when all that is wrong will be made right. Knowing, anticipating, that the promises of God, that they're all true. They're all true. This morning, I do not want to conclude our time together without offering an opportunity to respond to the hope of Jesus. And this morning, if you've never been baptized into Christ, I pray that you would not leave here this morning without having done so. But you'd come forward as we stand and as Aaron leads us in song.